Hey, you guys, it's Elise, and I am in the backyard again with the wind chimes and the wind. My poppies are blooming. Sun is out today. And I'm wanting to just kind of like share some space or set the table today with a couple different concepts. I want to talk about identity and how we and where we glean purpose and the meaning making of our lives. And I want to talk about delaying patterns and joy. Yeah. So I'm going to go with the joy first because I kind of feel like that's like the most fun part. I surfed the best wave of my life this week. I'm just going to lead with that. The anti-productive kick that I am moving towards is on Monday morning. I had my first non-meeting Monday. And I'm like, all right, like I could get in front of the laundry, I could do the dishes, I could clean up after the weekend, I could go grocery shopping, and of course immediately kick into overproductivity because now that I'm like air quotes not contributing in the same way to our household, I should therefore, you know, contribute in all these other ways. And I could feel myself gearing up for like responsibility. I'm like, like that's not it. So the least productive thing I could do, at least the least respect, least, the least productive thing I could do to honor my responsibility would be the most productive thing I could do to honor my joy, which was to go surfing. Because you can't be doing anything else. You know, you get to just be in the water and in the waves and in the, you know, in it all. And I just have to say, there's just some sheer, absolute, ridiculous, tickle me joy bomb in regards to catching a wave like that and feeling like, what? I don't know. As you can see, if you see my face, I'm still smiling about it because it was just like, I feel like the ocean was like pushing me down the line. There was something that felt so just fabulous about it. Okay. That's the tone, right? That's the tone, that like perfect moment. Oh, duh. Let me back up. So I paddled out and I'm in between two breaks. And I'm trying to decide where I want to be. And I keep watching other people take off. And I'm like, God, I'm kind of in Nowheresville right now. And I can't catch a wave here. And I was like, God, that's exactly how I feel right now. I feel exactly that. Like I paddled out, I got out there and I'm not catching anything. And I feel that. And I realized that there was kind of having this, you know, soul moment where I'm like, I resonate with not only the physical intersection I'm in literally, but also the metaphorical intersection of really not knowing where to go or where to be. And ultimately was like, okay, well, let's just go with that. Like just pick a break, pick a point and see what happens. And I literally move a little bit over to my left and catch that perfect wave. And as I am laughing down the lineup, I'm just like, God, that's it, isn't it? You know, sometimes you just got to get into the right spot and let everything else just happen and unfold naturally. So let's talk about the no man's land. I have noticed that as I have taken off these different pieces of my career, these different ways, well, we can call it career, but I could also say it's the way that I was feeding my ego or feeding my, like, this is what I do, my identity, right? How I understand myself. That's what I mean by ego. Like this sense of, as a therapist, I do this, therefore I understand how I fit into this whole thing. So not having that, not having those go-tos, right? I feel like I've been like trying to like reach or grab for like, God, how do I even understand purpose and worth and function and, meaning and productivity. And I'm just watching all this, like rise up. Like literally, you guys, I started just deciding to judge myself based on the dishes. Like if I got them done, how well did I get them done? Did I complete them? That's been my measuring stick recently, is the dishes and the laundry. And I'm like, what in the world? What am I doing? Why am I making my life so small right now? So I'm putting all this out there because I want to get to a couple things. One, I want to get to the idea that when we interrupt a pattern, there's immediate kickback. So when I set down the thing I've been doing for 17 years, immediately something wants to take its place. And what came for me first was some flumber. That's what it feels like. like a fluster, a fumble, fumbling. Like, what am I doing out here? And like, how do I, like, no, just what am I doing? Just kind of in that no man's land again. And then sometimes we can choose the small thing to define us, right? Like the dishes. So there's just constant pattern interruption. And what I want to maybe begin to touch today is the idea of how can we become more familiar with the voice of our inner ally rather than the voice of our inner critic. Okay, and so the inner critic, I probably don't have to say much about that. You know who and what that sounds like. For me, it was like, God, at least what a waste of space. Like, you couldn't even get the dishes done. Like, what else did you do today? Like, do you hear? Like, I'm looking for things to, like, measure myself against. Or then I would tell myself, well, you know, you're not as good of a cook as your husband. These are all facts, by the way, but the judgment isn't helpful. Like, the judgment isn't propelling me towards getting better at it. It was just towards feeling worse about it. So the inner critic or the judge, they're sneaky that way, right? Because it might be a true thing, but it's the shameful way in which that is then becomes punishment. You already know what judge sounds like. What I want to talk about is like what happens next in that inner conversation. Like what happens after I'm like, well, yeah, apparently I have chalked up motherhood to the tasks rather than the essence. Like in a matter of being home for 1 week, I was able to like completely reduce motherhood to if I did the dishes. what a ripoff to motherhood. Like that's not motherhood. That's not a way to see if I'm doing it well. If I did the dishes. That's like taking the most mundane tasks of some other like glorious big job and was like, oh, but did you take out the trash? I don't know. Like, it's like that has no bearing on like the actual experience or identity of the person who's doing that job. Okay. Ally, do you know what they sound like? Where's the voice of joy? Who's rooting for you on the inside? Right? Where's the soft, spacious voice? The voice that might be like, you know, Elise, if you look back at all of your years of motherhood now, do you remember other days where you didn't get the dishes done? No, I don't. Okay, so what? Why does it matter now? Right, like a little curiosity, a little something to be like, let's have the conversation, but from a different place of like, let's allow banter to happen between critic and ally. And I think I should probably keep going with ally. The ally is, the ally is how maybe you hoped your mom would have spoken to you. The ally is, I think that's really comes to the heart of it. It's like if you had this dream mom, sometimes I make this my best friend's mom. I'm like, wow, she always knows just what to say. So she's like my muse. And I'm like, she would probably tell me, you know, Elise, it's not about the dishes. What else is going on, honey? Like she would just meet me right where I'm at. And so if you were to also join me in making a mother muse, or maybe you had one, maybe you had a mom that did know just what to say, how would she meet you? How would she help you to redirect? How would she help you to like put things into appropriate perspective? That dishes couldn't possibly capture motherhood. Would she join you at the sink? Would she ask you about your day? Like, well, like what you really build out the picture, the visual. And the idea of developing the external ally, right? Is it's kind of easier to see when it's outside of ourselves. Then we want to then bring that ally in. And so if I internalized or if I began to borrow the voice and the words and the language from that external ally. Let's just say it's against my friend's mom. I'm like, what would she say right now? And could I offer myself that? Could I tap into some of that? And then notice what happens to the inner critic when the inner ally shows up. This is a conversation about gestalt, which is parts. This is an holism. This is a conversation about our thoughts and how they shape feelings and how feelings shape behavior. And this is a conversation about patterns and interrupting them and making room for joy or ally, just another voice, you know, a bigger conversation than just, I'm not doing this well. So again, I'm putting out like maybe just setting the table or opening up the canvas of the different things that I find myself like rubbing up against and or discovering, maybe discovering again. Because I think, wow, like right now I'm looking at my kids and I'm like, oh man, if they had some of the stuff, you know, if they had some of these lessons or if they had an inner ally voice, it would save them a lot of years of negative self-talk. And maybe that's what parenting is sometimes, is like trying to grab the resources and things that I can have access to and like pass them along to them and hoping they'll just pick up whatever they need. You know, they're not going to need everything I need because they didn't have my childhood. And so when I think about the inner ally and I think about my kids, I want to help allow them to find an authentic inner ally, the authentic voice. This isn't toxic positivity, and this isn't like dismissal. This is a genuine coming alongside, a genuine being with, to become familiar with the voice that is always for you, to become so close to that, like, hey, but how about that wave? Or but notice how your presence has shifted in the house, Elise. You know, and so yeah, dishes. But what else? What is working? What else? And could you rephrase that for me instead of the whole like nastiness around the dishes? Could you say that again, but not so mean? So I think that there's just kind of the conversation skill of building conversational patterns by giving the inner ally a seat at the table. So I do not want to beat a dead horse, but I want to invite you into considering what your parts party, what your dinner table looks like with these different parts of you. Do you know what your inner critic sounds like, looks like, would dress like? Could you give them a character in a movie, some villain that you're like, oh yeah, it's always that one. And the same thing with the ally. Would you consider like cast your movie right now, right? Like who would you want to play your inner ally? Who's going to be the one who shows up for you so we can get so much more familiar with the ally? We need that voice, you guys. I need that voice. So that's what I am playing with on this side of setting down career things. Oh, and I've also built, you know, like 4 websites of like, oh, I should do this idea. Oh, I should do this idea. Oh, I should do this idea. And I'm like, wow, the urgency, the need to create feels kind of batshit, if I'm honest. Like, even that feels like a squirrel to what it is like to pause, right? More creativity, more productivity. And maybe those are ideas I pick up down the road. But like right now was supposed to be a time of not. So it's hard for me to not. So I'm doing things like surfing on Mondays and taking a ceramics class and painting pots from the dollar store to like kind of keep myself in the now. It's a massive change of pace, and that is what I want to acclimate to. I am noticing the I feel like I have a different availability, emotional or energetic availability, spiritual availability to my kids, and that is paramount. And also, obviously, then to myself, right? And I think that that's like numero uno for me when it comes to parenting is how could they possibly receive something worthy or valuable from me if that's not what my insides look like? it's just never going to land. It's never going to read. And I'm not even going to be available to the moment if I'm not already familiar within it, within myself. So whether this is for you, or whether this is like for legacy, whether that affects whether you're a parent or not is kind of irrelevant. What your inner landscape is like is very much a snapshot of how you view like the rest of the world, the rest of landscape. So how do we allow for some alignment? How do we allow for my inner landscape to be as good as the world around me or the world I want my kids to have? And that becomes my responsibility and my choice to like paddle this way or paddle that way, to listen to inner critic or to get familiar with inner ally, and then to go from there. But one thing I am continually convinced of is the more I am getting closer to knowing what unbridled joy feels like, the more I'm like, yep, that feels like a non-negotiable now. And how joy becomes this source to feed every other thing. Because I came home and did the dishes. But from a place of like sandy toes and put the music on and like boogied, you know, I was like, wow, what a cool experience. Like, that was such a cool experience. I've never done the dishes that way. It's always like a chore where I'm berating myself. So what if we get to the same behavior, but we get there through like the path or the portal of joy? I don't know. And that's maybe the biggest gift of it all in the season, is not having to know, but getting to see. That is something that I can laugh at now, but I am a hard way learner. So in our growing up in our family, you know, my dad would say, you know, you can either learn this the hard way or the easy way. And I'm just kind of a hard way learner. I'm like, I gotta go see for myself. I gotta go taste it for myself. And probably twice, if I'm being totally honest, I'm like, yeah, let me just check that out again. I don't know if I actually got that flame was hot the first time. So I'm just gonna double check. Okay, great, still hot. And I'm applying that with joy as well, where it's like, so is it? What is it? What does it taste like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? What does it look like? What does it wear? And why? What's the role of joy? What does it inform? What's the difference between joy and happiness? What does creativity and curiosity and like any of that have to do with it? And ultimately, and this is maybe what I'm getting closer towards, is after all of the like beautiful hard work of therapy, what does it look like to then like live into the next, to like apply and live out all that healing and like be on this side of it? Knowing that, I have resources when things happen, as life will always. But like, could we spend a little longer in like the afterlife of our therapy, you know? Could we spend a little longer trusting ourselves and our story and the grit we've earned and the work we've done? So here, navigating, journeying, tasting, seeing, just like not holding it all like so preciously or with a ton of scarcity, but just kind of seeing like, huh. As I journey here, I don't know where this lands for you. So I have a moment of insecurity in regards to like, I feel like I'm on a new path, and I don't know how it'll sound in your ears. You know, I'm not sure if you're like, well, you know what? I kind of like the other path we were on. And so much respect, right? And yet if you're also like curious or also wondering what like all your years of healing and self-improvement and therapy got you, like I just wanted to kind of know that too. What would it look like to apply all the things we know? We live in this society of so much information and not a ton of like transformation. Think about like how many Instagram therapists there are. Why are we not all like so much healthier? Out of curiosity. Do you know, like, think about like the access that everyone has to information all the time. Like, why are we all not just so much farther ahead or kinder? I don't, you know? So I guess I'm kind of here to like, where's the rubber meeting the road now? How do we land the plane of what I do with all that good stuff? What do we do with all that good stuff? All right. That's what I got for now. I'm covered in clay from a ceramics class I just took. I am going to, and I realize I've actually now just tromped that through the house. And how fun, right? Like little evidence of what today was. Wherever this podcast meets and finds you today, I encourage you to wrestle with the inner critic and the inner ally, and to see if you can inch towards that chasing joy, that like taste of, huh, could it be that good? Am I allowed? And just to notice the conversation as you begin to develop like the familiarity with what your ally sounds like, with the person within that's just rooting for you endlessly. That's just so like stoked you're here, happy to see you always, and like just wants the most for you. That's your ally. That's the voice we want to get near. So, 2-hour ongoing foray into the wild lands of joy. To the like welcoming also of like the critic that might always be pointing us towards our ally if we really looked at it. So, to joy. Have a great week.